Reading today, only two verses before Will comes to us. Okay, thank you.
Yes, very short, but very much to the point. Reading is from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it.
Morning, everyone. Hello. I always have this really horrible nightmare that one day the passage is going to come up there and it's a completely different one to what I've prepared, but we're all right. Good to see you all. This morning we're talking about big life choices, so I hope you're not regretting the choice that you've just made not to go out with Heather. It's too late though, the doors are locked. So we're going to continue looking at the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to look at what Jesus is saying to us about big choices in life. So, as you're probably aware, we make tens, if not hundreds, of choices every day. From when shall I wake? What shall I have for breakfast? How hot's my shower going to be? Shall I get the bus or walk to work? And all these are before 7:30 in the morning. And some of these decisions are obviously more important than others. There's things like, which job am I going to go after? If I marry, who will I marry? How should I spend my time, my money? And so this morning we're looking about a passage that talks about this life-changing decision that we all choose if we call ourselves followers of Jesus. So as we've just heard in the passage, to enter God's kingdom, we can only enter through the narrow gate. And we know the verse in John 14, verse 6, where Jesus says that the only way, the truth, and the life is in him. That the only way that we, as humans, can come into the kingdom of God, or into relationship with God, is through Jesus. And Jesus talks actually quite a lot about this narrow way. There's various parables that he used. There's the parable of the seed scattered on the ground, where most of the seed went on the path, or on the rocky soil, or amongst the thorn bushes. Only that little bit of seed actually ended up on the good ground and grew and produced corn. In Luke 10, we hear how the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And in Luke 13, we hear about striving to enter through the narrow door. And Jesus says, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. So there's quite a few examples throughout the Bible of this kind of language. And Jesus could have used a number of ways to describe this situation, but he chose to use gates. And he talks about the narrow gate, so the narrow gate being to God's kingdom and to life, and about this other wider gate on the highway to hell, which is broad. So there's a choice, or as we'll look at shortly, choices to be made, which set our navigation system to head towards one direction or another. So it's about choosing our direction of travel. And Jesus is saying that the difficult reality of times where we don't choose the gate to the kingdom means that ultimately we're choosing the wide option in that instance. But in the same way, when we make choices to actively follow him, we're also choosing to reject the ways of the world. In 1 John 2:15, it talks about not loving the world or things in the world. And if anyone loves the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. So we're called to make the decisions that choose life in him and set aside those things that send us on another route, or that can send us on another route away from him. And as I was preparing this talk, I was thinking about, well, what bit of this should we focus on? It's literally a couple of verses. It was probably one of the shortest passages we've looked at. Should we look at the fact that many don't find the gate, this narrow gate? Or maybe we should focus on the fact that only a few do find it? But I think one of the things that I felt drawn to talk about this morning is this, that the moment you choose to give your life to Jesus is massive. It's a life-defining moment that stays with you forever, for those of us that have made that decision. And marriage is used quite a lot in the Bible to demonstrate commitment. And in another way, it's another massive life choice that some choose to make. But in the same way that a wedding day doesn't define a marriage, neither does that one decision to follow Jesus exist on its own on one day in the past. The decision that each of us make to follow Jesus is the starting point to a life that's changed forever. And at that moment, we are reborn. We're told we're spiritually reborn. But just like a marriage, the challenge is not perhaps in that first step, but it's in the thousand small and big decisions that we make every day. It's about remembering that the decision we made on day one and making the thousands of smaller decisions or big ones that follow that, all about honouring that decision and honouring him. So thinking about myself as a husband to Kat for a moment. If I wake up one day and today I'm going to leave stuff all over the house, not going to bother to say good morning, leave the door open on the way to work, take the car when she needs it with the kids, you know. But when I get home, I've bought her a beautiful bunch of flowers. One of the best, M&S job proper. I can tell you how that conversation is going to go. And it's not good. It's not good. So the one good decision that I might have made to get those flowers, despite the many bad ones, doesn't fit consistently with my pledge to put her first. If I really meant that promise, the commitment that comes out in the wash of all the smaller decisions. So to go through the day and generally not consider her in anything I'm doing, only to turn up with one positive one, is not what it's about. It's about understanding that the goal in marriage is to keep our eyes on the promise that we made, and the many small decisions will reflect that promise. Now, for the obvious disclaimer alert, I'm obviously not the perfect husband. Not that I've completed that exact scenario. I can see what you're thinking, Lisa. Not maybe just bits of it. But so we're gonna consider that scenario in a bit. We're going to consider these less than perfect decisions, don't worry. But in the same way as we make these many, many small decisions, we make that in our walk with Jesus as well. And I want to propose that those little ones are the ones that really matter. They're the ones that can make the difference to those who we're around on a daily basis. So maybe it's how we choose to treat someone at work. Maybe it's how we interact with a friend, treat our colleagues, whether we walk away from a need. These are the things that make the difference or not. So we've heard about the narrow gate in this passage, but I would actually suggest that it could be described as many narrow gates. It's choosing 100 times a day to deliberately veer off the highway and choose the option that leads to the one with whom we made that lifelong promise to honour. It doesn't mean that we get it right every time, but it does mean that our eyes and our hearts are focused on him. So Jesus says that most are on the highway to hell. It's the popular option, and the highway is wide, and there's a lot going on the highway. There's a reason it's popular. There's plenty of distractions, maybe close friends or family, and it can sometimes be easy to lose our focus. So there's a lot of really appealing things on that route, and we hear in verse 14 that the road through to the narrow gate, the road that leads to life, is difficult, and only a few ever find it. So on the face of it, why would we pick that route? But we also know, of course, that the difference is that it leads to him. It leads to the one who we call our Father, and it leads home. Chris, wherever you are, I haven't briefed you on this, so I hope you don't mind, but remember we had the conversation a couple of weeks ago. So Chris was doing a great, we had like the first practice of 2023, and Chris did a great sort of like pep talk, start 2023 to the worship team, which is great. And he was asking us if we had any thoughts about the year ahead. And the conversation somehow turned to the subject for like a plan of our lives, and we were talking about like this concept of whether God has this detailed plan for us. And we were discussing the difference between a plan and a vision. And long story short, regardless of your view of whether God has your sort of everyday plan mapped out to the nth degree or not, we talked about how God's vision for us can look beyond the plan. That if a closer and deeper relationship with God is truly at the core for the vision for our lives, then that detailed planning can take a back seat. And this kept coming back to me, that conversation that we were sort of musing over. It kept coming back to me as I was preparing this. When every day becomes about wanting to serve Jesus as the first and the foremost thing, it's about keeping him in our sights every single day as the author and protector of our faith. And with the help of his Spirit living in us, the decisions needed to get there will naturally happen, or supernaturally happen. In the same way as the wise men fixed their eyes on the star and followed it to honor the baby Jesus, they kept their eyes on that star and they didn't overly concern themselves with what their feet are doing. As we've heard with, with Evie getting a place in uni, for some of our young people, there's a lot of really big decisions to be made about like further and higher education and about what career they want to choose. And I remember my old lecturer, there's like an oracle at every uni. I don't know, Lisa, if you're that one at Chester, but that every university's got this one oracle, and ours was called Malcolm. And Malcolm always used to say that those that were going to be the most successful on the course were not the most intelligent. They were not the ones that worked the hardest, as important as these things can be. But it was the ones that knew where they wanted to get to. The ones that had a really clear vision of where they wanted to be in 5 years or whatever their sort of steps looked like. So the girl in my class who had a vision of a career designing wings and bits for aeroplanes made all the little decisions that ultimately added up to her having that first job. Not because she was focused on the little choices, but because she'd set her eyes on the prize. Now, obviously, we're talking about something a lot more important than that. So I want to encourage us this morning that perhaps getting caught up and obsessed with the details of our everyday choices is not always helpful. Instead, if we focus on him and trust that when we keep our eyes fixed on him, he will guide us in the little and the large choices that come along the way. Now, I'm not suggesting for a moment that God doesn't care about the detail. In fact, we know he cares passionately for our issues, big and small. And in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, it says that we should give all of our worries and cares to God because he cares for each one of us. But instead, I'm suggesting that God sees the bigger picture for our lives and that when our hearts are aligned with his and we choose to lean on him, we will head in the right direction. There are many ways we can serve him, and whilst they look different, they all might take slightly different paths. They all have the purpose of serving his kingdom. I think this can actually be really difficult to remember, and it can be really easy to constantly critique and criticize our own decisions. We can ask ourselves questions like, what if God actually didn't want me to take that job? Or what if I messed up that conversation with that person that was really important? And, maybe I didn't speak in the way God wanted me to in that situation. What if I should have shared the love of Jesus with that person and I missed the cue? Well, I think put simply, God can handle our mistakes. And there's loads of scripture again that can encourage us here. Which I think we may have heard this earlier, actually. But in Romans 8:28, we hear that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So even with our mistakes, with our mess-ups, God can still work through those who love him for his purpose and for his kingdom. Elsewhere in Matthew 28, Jesus promises to always be with us to the end of the age. And when Peter had the courage to step out the boat, he didn't sink, because he kept his eyes fixed on the beauty of the one who promises never to leave us. When we hear his voice, those choices become easier to make. And we're not on our own. He walks with us on the difficult road, giving us his Holy Spirit to comfort us and to guide us in those moments where we're just not sure which way to turn. So the narrow gate is, well, it's narrow and the road's not in good shape. But for all the potholes, maybe the doubts that we have, for all the hills feeling like we can't go on, and the many winding curves, maybe we just feel weary, we feel worn out. When we keep our eyes fixed on him, we have the strength and the confidence to keep going, to keep choosing the narrow gate every day. So I mentioned earlier about the less than ideal scenario that often a lot of us find ourselves in, and we heard about how the highway is broad, and there are many on the highway. And it's how we all start before we make that decision to follow him and choose to go through the narrow gate. So thinking a little more about what happens when inevitably we make a mistake, because we all do, or many mistakes. And in Romans 3, we hear that we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all made decisions that put us back on the thought process of that main highway, when instead of being set apart from the world, we become part of it again. What then? Well, becoming a parent's been an interesting experience over the last few years, and we're very fortunate that there's a lot of great examples of parents in this room that we can copy from. So that's good. It's cheating, but you know, we'll take it. But obviously one of the other things we use is books. And in particular, we like these books from a chap called Steve Bidolf, who does these books called like Raising Girls, Raising Boys, Happy Children, these things. It all sounds good. But then you get into the detail of the books, and it always talks about how parents should be fully available, fully attentive, never shout, always listen, be 100% emotionally available 24/7, and generally be brilliant. And these are all good things to work towards. But yeah, newsflash, we fail. And we fall short of the standard. You know, can't I, reading these books, like starting to lose hope, going, seriously, how are you supposed to do all of this? How are we supposed to keep this going without slipping up? But then fortunately, there's a bit in the book that says, don't worry when you mess it up, because you get endless chances to get it right. When you get it wrong, just don't give up. That's the thing, just keep going. It's like, whew, okay, all right, we're good. And last week we were thinking about God being our good father and how he showers goodness and gifts on his children. And Psalm 145 tells us how we worship a God who's gracious and righteous, a God who's full of compassion, a God who's slow to anger and rich in love, that he's good to all and he has compassion on all that he's made. And if we find ourselves having made decisions that are more like those on the highway and not the gateway to life, he has compassion. It's not game over, and the gate is not closed. So I'd like to encourage you this morning that no matter what your mistake or your mistakes, however badly you've fallen, the narrow gate is still open to you. Your mistakes don't make you any less qualified to go through the gate towards him who gives life. In fact, the narrow gate is the one who loves us so much that he gave his life for us. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And only through him, the narrow gate, do we find the fullness of life. And this kind of thing came to me, this idea of the narrow gate having wide arms. And I quite like that. I don't know if that resonates with any of you guys, but yeah, this idea that yes, the narrow gate, sometimes it can be hard to find and the path is difficult, but he has wide arms calling us home and he calls us to a life of adventure in him. He doesn't promise us an easy ride, but he does promise to walk with us along that rough and difficult road. So as I kind of come into finish, I just want to encourage you to bring your choices to him. And as we approach the many daily choices over this week, whether big or small, let's remember just to kind of lift our eyes up and keep our eyes fixed on him as we walk along that road, knowing that it leads to our Heavenly Father, who is full of love and compassion. Thank you.